Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
The Back Room with DJ Paddy, playing the best new indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk.
Good evening, Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. This is The Back Room, home of brand new music, indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk. Every Thursday night, 6 till 7, kicking off there with great band, new band Art Block, and that is called Poorer Than Ever. Packed show for you tonight. Going to be talking to Jamie and Michael from band Giant Killers. Around in the 90s, and after 30 years, they've managed to release their debut album. I'm going to be chatting to them about those 90s experiences and playing some tracks, stripped back tracks from that. That's coming up. Also, music news, local national gig guide, new album releases. And, of course, loads of great new music, as always. This is a new artist, Ben Walker. Check this out. This is Lose It All.
Just never moved on. But I guess over straight air that I'll never learn, and I can barely hold on. Spent a couple of years in your bed, I lost a couple more sins head in my head, and I just know I won't be leaving this yet.
With DJ Paddy, playing the best new indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk.
Hey, this is Chris from Less Than Jake, and you are listening to Sheffield Live.
Yes!
New music on the Back Room. Future Sounds.
We built our home out on the slopes, Pompeii beneath, she lay above. How she haunted our home, how she haunted our home. You were a god in my eyes, above the clouds, above the skies. You were a god in my eyes, you were a god. Took me walking through the town, showed me the statues underground. Said, just don't they look at peace? Sometimes I wish that was me. I was the son you always had, tugging at your coat while you were sad. I was the son you always had. I was the son you always had. Hold your head up high, she would want you to, she would want you to, please just don't cry. Hold your head up high, she would want you to, she would want you to. You said stay in the car and wait, There's just some things I have to say. Don't you know I miss her too? I miss her just as much as you. So my father and my son, as you end what she's begun, you'll lie patient by her side. With roses red come lilies white. I was too young to understand the flowers slipping from your hands. I was too young to understand. I was too young to understand. I was too young to understand the flowers sleeping in her hands. I was too young to understand. I was too young to understand.
Amazing. It's an oldie, well, it's 10 years old, from their debut album, Island Bears Den. And that's a new version, Above the Clouds of Pompeii, featuring Dermot Kennedy. And they're going to be going out to celebrate the 10 years of the album next year with some big gigs, actually, in some beautiful venues such as Manchester Bridgewood Hall and also the Royal Albert Hall in London. So, yeah, look out for those dates. Okay. Giant Killer's going to be chatting to them in a little while. This is Around the Blocks from their debut album.
Shops and round the blocks, the kids are spitting smoke a lot, are staring at the local cops, it's bad. While grandma skates along the streets, today the dog won't get its meat, hope the cat will come home in one piece. And in the streets where you first kissed, to be inside the house you wish, but mom and dad are not allowing this. So drink the sacred lager, kid, it makes you sick, so do the sinks, but she knows you love him in the end.
The only thing you'll be is older.
In the end,
oh, eyes are hell and eyes are short.
In the end,
while all the things you love and hold dear will stay with you.
While in subways and the tubes, and names you spray still spoil the views and upset the early morning queues. Hear grey people in grey suits ignore the likes of me and you. Politely they ignore each other too. Can see that tired look in their eye. Mistake your fate in that and die. Goodbye, see you later, get a life. So you best hold the one you love. Though you may not be very good, you know you get better in the end.
In the end, the only thing you'll be is all.
Show us
while all the things you love and hold, you will stay with you.
stone, steel, I kiss. If you can't do that tight,
sounds.
Wherever I am in the world, people always ask me, why do you do it? Why risk your life? My answer is always the same. I do it because I want to. I do it for the fun of it.
New from Public Service Broadcasting, the forthcoming album, The Last Flight, album tour in the autumn, and that is called The Fun of It. So Giant Killers, I caught up with them to talk about songs from the Small Places, their debut album, which took, yeah, 30 years to get out, and I'm chatting to about why that was and about their experiences. But first, I'm going to play a stripped back version, which was recorded last month, and this is called It's My Time Now.
What is happening to me? Got all this nervous energy. This is my life. It all wells up inside of me. I'm fearful for my sanity. Oh, oh. Wolfgang composed for me another epic symphony about my life. For I know that such a sound will lift my heavy heart into the clouds. It's my time now. It's my time now. It's my time now. I won't procrastinate. I got no time to sit and wait. This is my life. There are things I haven't seen. The world that haunts me in my dreams. Wolfgang composed for me another epic symphony about my life. For I know that such a sound will grind my heavy heart into the ground. It's my time now. It's my time now. It's my time.
Good evening, Jamie and Michael from the Giant Killers. Good to have you on the show. How are you guys? How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Paddy, and thanks for having us. It's good to be doing this again after so many years, right, mate?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Do you remember, Jamie, that tour of it was, I guess, local radio stations. Local radios may be very powerful back in the day.
Radio stations, yeah.
We did this. We started up in Scotland, didn't we, Jamie? I think this was on the back of Giant Killers' first single, and we worked away that maybe 50, 60 different radio stations when you had to turn up at the studio and do a live thing, really. But yeah, really enjoyed that. Yeah, long time ago, as Jamie says.
Long time ago. And look, you know, it took 3 decades to get your debut album. So let's talk about this, because I was really curious about this. And it's like, you know, you had a couple of singles in the 90s. The album never came to light. You've spent almost 30 years trying to get this album. How through MCA to get your masters back, to get it out there? Why was there such a long time for the struggle? And what was it about now and get it out there?
I guess I'd paraphrase it. I don't think there's anything overly cynically music businessy about it, really. There's a little bit of that, but most of it is the time that's elapsed and how people move on. And in fact, the music industry sort of eats itself, doesn't it? Like our publishing, for instance, myself and Jane were both sides of a little organisation called Windswept Pacific, who were bought by EMI, who were bought by Sony Music, and the rights just transferred, even though they have no right to be transferred because we didn't sign to EMI or Sony. And and then it's just finding out who are the right people to chat to. And then and people move on. Everything gets lost. All of our masters were like analog. So, you know, the masters themselves are very likely in landfill somewhere.
And of course, I think the other part of it, Mike, is, as you say, away from the music part. Paddy, you'll notice that me and Mike can talk for forever, right? So please stop us. We don't know how to stop talking. I think also once, you know, we've been doing it for a long time, right? I mean, we started, there was 1 year, we did just under 350 gigs in 1 year, Mike. We've just missed a couple of days, right? I mean, before we got signed. We've been doing this a long, long time. It was a real slog. This was back in the day when you had to really work at it. Getting a record deal was just the start of it. And that took us, I think that took, the first one took us 6 years, Mike, before we got a deal. After all those years, we put so much effort in it. And then I guess, you know, life just took over, right? And we'd be just became, I mean, we're now very, very middle-aged men.
In our 50s.
We both have children. We both married with kids. And I have to say, you know, this is all down, a lot of this is down to Mike because he doesn't know how to give up or stop. determined to make this happen. So I've got him to thank, as I've for a lot of things, for this, to bring this to life. And it's great to hear it again. And, it, you know, production-wise, it sounds a little dated, but I think, you know, Mike and I are both really proud of the songs and the songwriting. And a song, regardless of its production and its quality and its recording, will always stand the test of time. And I'd like to think that that's why our tracks, after all these years, are still, are now being played again, and people are seemingly to seem to be enjoying them.
Absolutely, yeah. And going back to Jamie, to paraphrase Jamie, just we got disillusioned because Jem said that NCA was actually our second deal. We had two publishing deals, so we'd literally been around the blocks, to bit of a pun there. And you know, the thing about being in the music industry, being in bands and being in a van going up and down the M1 doing toilet gigs, it keeps you in a sort of prolonged state of adolescence. So it's probably narrowing as human beings after a bit. So, you know, we did get to our late 20s and thought, you know, having been dropped from two major recording contracts, but that there must be something wider in life than this. And it, a part of it was having, you know, that sort of break to, you know, to discover who we were as people, really, again, having, we put so much energy and time and life into you know, doing that, you know, being pop stars, if you like.
And how disappointed were we, Mike, when we really did, really, after all those years, truly find ourselves, to find out that we're a couple of annoying, quite dull, won't stop middle-aged blokes.
I don't believe that.
You're certainly annoying.
When you think back to the night, I mean, the 90s, I personally think the 90s is still one of the best times for music. Yeah. I mean, and especially kind of on the indie scene. I mean, there was so many genres of music, but I mean, I think, yeah, at that time, and you know, we've just heard yesterday, Oasis, like everybody's talking about this right now, never thought it would happen, our back. And there's something really about that time. What was your kind of, what were the bits that you just look back on in fondness? I mean, you were gigging all the time. You must have played with lots of bands kind of around that time.
I remember, Mike, I remember we used to, it was fabulous back then in London when we were younger. I remember waking up on a Tuesday morning, going and grabbing a copy of NME and Melody Maker and looking at the back pages to see who would go and see that night. I mean, it was just awesome. And these, we went to see bands that people have never heard of at the time, right? I remember going to see Radiohead at the Mean Fiddler that you and Mike and I had never heard of. And they played this track and me and Matt were like, oh my God, that's a massive record. It turns out it was Creep. But at the time, nobody had heard, you know, nobody had heard. They were just playing this dodgy little, actually, I say dodgy, we love the Fiddler.
We played it a few times. But the other thing, to build on what Jem, do you remember, Jemmy? We actually, and talking about Oasis, we did see them in one of their early London gigs at the Water Rats.
Yeah, at the Water Rats.
Supporting our mates band who were called Orange Deluxe, who were signed to Dead Dead Good, and they'd been 30 previous to that. So that privilege, if you like, of seeing bands like Radiohead, like Oasis at their early stages was something that was special. And of course, and we played with, you know, some of them. We played with Blur, we played with Squeeze, we played with Nick Heywood, we played with loads of bands at that time. And then also myself and Jamie got invited into the inner sanctum of the 90s music scene, because we played football every Sunday afternoon with a game that was by Andy Ross, who was the head honcho of Parlophone, Food, who were part of Parlophone at the time, Blur. And everyone who turned up, you know, you had Jarvis Cocker turning up, you had Damon turning up all the time.
Damon, I always remember, funny enough, Damon was in our footy team and he was dreadful. He was so bad.
We weren't great either, mate.
No, we were terrible. But I do remember everyone wanted to pass to him for some reason. But I remember we were all still a bit broke, and we'd all go for a pint afterwards, as you do after you've just played football for an hour and a half. And we'd all be scraping for a pint, and he'd get his little platinum card out, mate. I'll never forget that. It was a real big moment for me. But also, I think that, you know, there's certain moments in your life when I always talk about Stone Roses. I always talk about them as the band that kind of changed so much for me personally. I personally think it's one of the greatest debut albums ever recorded. And for me, it was, you know, people talk about Oasis, Blur, but it was slightly ahead before that time with the likes of the Stone Roses that really, for me, especially again as songwriters, are like really good songwriters. And we were very lucky, Mike. If you remember, it's the only time, and do stop us, Paddy, because we do talk, right?
This is fascinating because I just remember that time.
Good. It's the only time I've kind of thrown my toys out of the pram, when we were staying in some hotel and somewhere, and Alistair, our A&R guy and promoters, were trying to get us to do loads of promos one day. And I asked if we could get tickets to see the Roses, Mike, who were playing at the Academy at Brixton. Yeah. It was their first gig. It was massive, sold out months and months in advance. And it's the first time I've ever done this. And it was me and Mike throw our tours out of the promise. I mean, if you don't get us tickets, we're not doing any of that stuff today. I mean, absolute babies. But we did get it, and we did go and see the Roses at the...
We went to see them twice in a row, Jamie, because they were playing two nights, and we got tickets to both nights.
Did we?
Yeah.
We got very drunk on the first night, because I can't remember the second night at all.
And the other thing I should add on the Stone Roses, Jamie, you remember Andy Richmond. So Andy, Paddy, was a guy who ran Jive Records, which was part of Zomba, and Zomba obviously had Silverton and signed the Roses. And before me and Jamie signed to Arista, Andy, being a record company executive who lived not too far.
He lived in Scotter, just outside of Scunny.
Yeah, Scunny, yeah, absolutely. And he would take us to London every Monday morning as he was going to work, because obviously we were then hanging around in London, but not quite. We had one foot in Grimsby and one foot in London. And he would drive us there on a Monday. And sometimes, if we didn't stay the weekend, he'd bring us back on a Friday night. And do you remember, Jeff, he played us the Roses album, didn't he, before it was released in his car on the way back? And we were just blown away. I think that must have been 1990 or something like that. And,
yeah, I think that was like 89, actually.
89 it was, wasn't it? Yeah. And we, again, just getting that sort of being on the periphery of the music industry and, you know.
Yeah.
I always say to my now wife, there's coming from these sort of humble beginnings of Grimsby, I was brought up on a quite a rough council estate in Grimsby. Nothing wrong with that. I had a great childhood. But, you know, coming down to London and kind of seeing the other side of life, really, something that I'd never really seen before. I think I speak for both of us, Mike. Just never seen stuff like this. And there's James's biggest hit, Sit Down, which is a good record. But it's got a line in it that always stuck with me. And it kind of meant something to me at the time. I didn't realize at the time, but it's the simple line. It just says, if I hadn't seen such riches, I could live with being poor. And I always remember that line as a real, you know? And I think they obviously felt that as well.
And then of course when we never made huge amounts of money out of music, although we did get signed on both occasions at a time when record companies did do signing on fees for, but that doesn't happen at all anymore now.
Yeah, they were decent, yeah.
And they were fairly decent, but one of the things we were young and foolish, so we spent it, you know, we sort of thought we'd made it, we'd got the deal. And really, we just, as Jamie had said earlier, we'd just bought the lottery ticket. We hadn't won it at all. And so we sort of, you know, we thought there was more of this to come. And so while we had a bit of an injection of cash, we then quite quickly afterwards, you know, had to slum it really, even though we were signed. So it felt like, you know, that line from the James song Jamie speaks about, for sure. Yeah, we feel we've definitely lived that. We got a glimpse of what it could be.
Absolutely.
And you're reminded of that when you get your PRS check every quarter, because you think at that point, well, I've got 30 quid for a cap, you know, for a play on Dundee FM. Yeah. Elton John's probably got.
No, right.
Yeah. Well, it was a wonderful time. And, you know, now, you know, 2024, the album's out, kind of put from the small places on Little Genius Recordings. And you know, you were invited by Patrick Keilty, weren't you, in the BBC lounge at the UEFA's. I know there was some football support there with you. Yeah. And
that was awesome. That's, again, we had a bit of history there back in, funny enough, it was Around the Blocks, Mike, wasn't it? Released. Yeah. And we were doing TV and radios up and down the country, and we flew over to Belfast to be on Paddy Keilty's TV show. He was like the Jonathan Ross in Northern Ireland. And he had a chat show over there. Yeah, really up and coming. But he was like the hot new thing. We did his show in Ireland. I remember that it was fabulous. We did it live. They used to have live music.
It was live because they
on TV.
No miming.
That now. So we did it live. And then we kind of just got to know him a bit, and we went out for a drink. We went out for a lot of drinks. We were randomly joined by Nicholas Parsons.
He was also on the show, of course.
Yeah. He wasn't just passing by and thought he'd join us. So we went out we built up a very, very short-lived friendship. And our publicist that we brought in again for this, you know, reached out, and amazingly he remembered having us on, and we've now met him a few times again, and it's great. I actually said to him the other day when we saw him, Mike, like I knew him, and I said, oh, how's Kat? I mean, I'm talking about Kat. I've literally never seen the woman in my life.
I did hear that. I did wince slightly, I thought. But, yeah, no.
she's got a pretty big gig now, hasn't she?
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, yes. No, I'm sure he went home that night and said, Jamie sends his love.
the other guy we should reach out to on that, who you did become quite firm friends with for a little bit, was the Manc TV presenter. What's he called? Oh, God.
Harry Christian.
Yeah, because he's still doing radio. So
yeah.
He loved him. He absolutely loved him. We played in Manchester, we'd go and see him. But
he randomly rang my flat one day in London. We went out with him.
Yeah.
Did you ever play The Word? I can't remember. Did you play The Word?
No, we didn't do The Word.
Yeah.
We didn't.
Mike was asked to be on it to do some awful thing like lick fur balls from somebody. That TV show was repulsive, right?
That was late night TV. It was classic, really, when you look back on it. But some of it was well dodgy.
Dodgy. I think that came just before the classic that was The Hitman and Her, if anybody remembers that.
Yeah. They used to film it in Sheffield.
I know.
They did,
yeah. Yeah, Pete Waterman, Michaela Strachan.
Michaela Strachan, she doesn't seem to have changed much. I see her on that wildlife show she does. And she seems like...
Yeah, she looks exactly the same. Yeah.
But you're like, in terms of gigs, you're going to play Shine Festival. So you're kind of opening the Friday? Or
the main stage on the Friday, which is an early gig as we understand it. And yes, we're not quite sure if we're going to do it as a duo with a bit of backing or a full live band or, you know, a bit of a mix. So, but yeah, there's some other great acts on. There's Echo and the Bunnymen, Lightning Seeds, who we often got compared to.
You can hear that.
Did you say the word act?
I'm sorry, Jamie. Yeah, so that is very cabaret sounding, isn't it?
Artist acts, bands.
I can't believe you've pulled me up on that, and that's going to go brilliant.
I think Ian McCulloch to be seen as an axe would be that one.
Ian McCulloch's story, though, for you. So when we were recording the album, one of the studios that did songs for The Small Place when we were signed to MCA, we were at Olympic in Barnes, and there were the Bunnymen had another old incarnation as Electrifixation.
Yes, I remember them, yeah.
Yeah, and Will McCulloch, the guitarist, Ian McCulloch and the guitarist Will Sargent, I think. And they were in the other studio and they recording at the same time. So me and Jamie got, it's almost like we've been to Borstal because we got pretty good at table tennis because they had a table tennis in the breakout room. And one of the things we noticed about Ian McCulloch was he never took his sunglasses off.
Even in broad daylight playing table tennis.
Yeah, so he challenged us to a game of table tennis. He challenged us to game of table tennis, and he actually thrashed us both, but without taking his sunglasses. He was very good. I remember that.
That's funny. One thing is from the album, I noticed there were kind of proceeds going to Calm. How did that come about?
Well, myself and Jamie both know the CEO, Simon, and and it's an interesting, it goes back to back in the day, if you like, in that when we got dropped from Arista, we thought about going back to Grimsby, but then we thought, well, why don't we hone our songwriting skills and do it all again, essentially? But we were totally skint. And our then manager, a guy called Jonathan Cook, who managed Beverly Craven and Go West, gave us an empty office in his suite of offices, which had no curtains, no mattress. And we pretty much lived there for 18 months and writing songs for The Small Places there. But one of the offices was taken by a company called SOS Management, who looked after lots of people, but Garbage, so Butch Vig's later incarnation, Simon looked after Butch Vig and Garbage, and he became a firm friend. He had a guitar that he kept by the side of his desk, which Butch Vig played, which Jamie always picked up, and we wrote a few of the songs. From songs on that guitar, so we always claim
the first song we ever wrote was When This Time Is Over, which we wrote on Butch Vig's guitar.
So Simon, like us, became disillusioned with the music business and went on to work in media, but became the CEO of Campaign Against Living Miserably, and obviously, you know, thinking about creative people and mental health.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of mental health issues in the creative industries, but particularly in amongst musicians and writers and types generally. And you know, so it's, you think about Lewis Capaldi at Glastonbury last year, wasn't it, when he had to withdraw problems with his mental health. You know, thinking about if you don't get the right help at the right time, then that can be fatal, and that's.
It's much way more on the radar now, and I think, and in terms of a lot of musicians that I interview, some of them have talked quite openly about their mental health and talked about that. You know, music is a therapeutic process. It's a way of managing that, writing that, getting that stuff out. So I think it's.
I also think it compels you as a writer to touch on some darker stuff of your character sometimes. You know what I mean? That isn't probably healthy to keep getting into that. I don't think I'd class myself and Jamie's stuff in that. But if you think, if you think about a Nick Cave or that sort of thing, there's, anything on that sort of gothic, darker side, that, touching into that and extracting it to write a song is, that can be it may not be as cathartic as you think it might be.
Well, a therapist would tell you to talk about it, right? It's the same thing, isn't it?
People connect with it as well, so people who may be struggling themselves and then are getting help therapeutically from the musician they're listening to or watch.
Yeah, there's
a connectiveness around that and awareness, which is all amazing. Jamie, Michael, thank you so much for talking tonight. It's been amazing. Just talk about, you know, your album Get From The Small Places, getting it out there after all this time. And just lovely to hear the kind of stories of the industry going back to the 90s. And actually, you know, getting back out on stage as well, which will be fun.
Really looking forward to
and playing it. So, and I'm loving the records when this time is over, around the blocks, getting those played on the show. Yeah, thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Appreciate your support. Nice talking to you.
You too. Take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Cheers.
Bye. So good evening. So, good evening.
Thanks so much to Giant Killers, to Jamie and Michael there, talking about their journey. And yeah, the 90s experience is really, really good to hear. It's 6:45. You listen to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM. This is the Back Room. We've got music news coming up very, very shortly after this one from PJ Kerletta. This is Now That You're Here.
About the day you left and all the messages I sent, I'd love to hear your voice notes once again. And all the times you played it cool, sick and tired of being a fool, let's rewind to the start once again. I don't wanna let go, I don't wanna say no. Pack apart the past and let me know. Now that you're here, let go of your fears. Reliving the years. Don't let go, don't let go. Take me to the place you stay. Talk tonight about a pain. Now I'm midnight driving once again. And all the lights are flashing red as the rain beats down over our heads. And we'll talk to the morning once again. I don't wanna let go, I don't wanna say no. Pack apart the past and let me know. You're here.
Great track there. Okay, let's do some music news for you.
Music news.
So Oasis, they responded to demand difficulties and controversies surrounding the launch of the 2025 reunion tour ticket sale by announcing two new shows at Wembley Stadium with very strict rules in place. The Britpop giants announced a return this week, confirming a run of UK and Ireland stadium shows for 2025, revealing their first performances together since their final gig, an acrimonious split in 2009. However, when tickets to the European exclusive shows went on sale on Saturday, fans met difficulty in being held in online queues for hours, with many being kicked out of line with Ticketmaster systems believing them to be ticket-out bots, and many who did not get through were shocked to find tickets at hugely inflated prices due to dynamic pricing. So they are announced 27th and 28th of September at Wembley Stadium as a small step towards making amends for the situation with a special invitation-only ballot ticket sale strategy. Catfish are the bottom end. They've seemingly quietly cancelled their tours in Australia and the America. Last week, the Welsh band cancelled a show in Ireland in 5 years, just minutes before doors set to open. At the time, they announced that member of the band has fallen ill. Now it seems as though the band have axed their entire Australian and North American runs as well. While the band have yet to issue a statement regarding the cancellations, fans in Australia have confirmed they have received notification of the tour's cancellation just ahead of its scheduled kickoff today. According to a messenger from the tour's ticketing partner Moshtix, all Australian shows have been cancelled due to illness and the band were really looking forward to the show. So that's the music news. This is a new track from Maddox Jones and this is called 1 Minute.
Sepia skin tones, looking like the sun caught us both. Smiling cheek to cheek, never show my teeth. Oh, I must have been happy. Picture or window, are we in the past? I don't know. Seeing eye to eye, losing track of time, 'cause you're looking at me. 1 minute you were in.
Jones there. Okay, let's do some gigs for you.
Local and national gig guide.
So, gigs in Sheffield this week, tonight, 93 Million Miles for the Sun is at Hallam Hotel. Tomorrow, Shoegazing Legends Ride with Juno Dream supporting at the Lead Mill. And you've got also Saturday, the out in Barnsley at the Birdwell venue, Le Brook at Corporation. Sunday, Venus Girls at Yellow Arch. Tuesday, the Dead Daisies at Homeforth Pictodrome. And on Wednesday, Hope and Social, the Grey Stones and Jimmy Whispers at Cine Matilda. Other gigs that have been announced, Brian's Jonestown Massacre. They're playing Valentine's Day, 14th February, Manchester Albert Hall. Those tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10. Everything have announced a tour, including a day at Sheffield Foundry on the 7th of December. Those tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10. And Faithless have announced a tour in November. Newcastle City Hall on the 6th, Birmingham Academy on the 7th, Brixton Academy on the 14th, and Manchester Victoria Warehouse on the 15th. And those tickets are on sale now. Okay, a couple of tracks left for you tonight. This is a new one from Tom A. Smith featuring Swim School.
Don't think you know just what I meant. That Friday night when we were drunk and then I said, if you lost me, would you ever forget? If you lost me, would you ever forget? The strangest feeling keeps running around my head. So much good going on, but so much fear instead. But at least I live my life with nothing to regret. With nothing to regret. I don't want you to have to remember me. I don't want you to have to remember me for longer than you ever knew me. For longer than you ever knew me. I don't want you to have to remember me. I don't want you to have to remember me. Ignore. I've got nothing to prove anymore. I've got nothing to prove anymore. But it's not worth it if I don't see success. But without these moments, my life would be a mess. But it's still down to me, nonetheless. No, it's still down to me, nonetheless. Have to remember me. I don't want you to have to remember me for longer than you ever knew me. For longer than you ever knew me. I don't want you to have to remember me. I don't want you to have to remember me for longer than you ever knew me.
So that's it for me tonight. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Giant Killers for having a chat. Some albums out tomorrow. Bleachers have a new one called Stranger Desired. Blink 182. One More Time. The Cardigans, The Rest of the Best, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Fat Dog, album called Wolf. Fred Again, 10 Days, that's out tomorrow. And Hines, Aviva Hines. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week with loads of great new music. I'm going to finish with these guys. They're from Norway. And they're called Mayflower Madam. This is Never Sever.